Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 22. And I'm very much aware this is Wednesday evening, and being a pastor, I know what that consists of. And that means go to church, get a quick shot in the arm, something to help you through the rest of the week so you can get back home, get them babies into bed, and because you got school tomorrow. And so, but I want to share some things with you tonight. Probably slow it down a little bit and maybe try to help you in an area or two. Luke chapter number 22, and I'm going to read verses 31 and 32. That's all I'm going to read. And I'm going to share a couple verses with you tonight and trust the Lord will help us this evening. Luke 22, 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said," anytime He says something, it's a good time to listen. "Simon, Simon," when He calls your name twice, that means He's really wanting to get your attention. "But Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 32 says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted..." Now, that word "converted" there means changed. And it's not talking about the salvation of Peter, but it's talking about what's going to take place in his life through what he's fixing to go through. "Strengthen thy brethren." You may be seated tonight. I want to preach a message tonight on this thought, on what the devil wants from you. There is one thing in particular that he wants from all of us. He not only wants it from God's people, he wants it from lost people as well. One might would say, "Well, the devil wants your wife." Well, that would be true, but it goes deeper than that. One might would say, "Well, the devil wants your marriage." That's true, but it goes deeper than that. One might say, "The devil wants your teenagers, your kids." That is true as well. But it goes deeper than that. One might say that he's after your testimony. Yes, that's true, but it goes deeper than that. One might say he wants Liberty Baptist Church. Yes, that is true, but it goes deeper than that. There's one thing that is a driving force of Satan, and I want to share that with you. But before we do, I want us to notice a few things in verse 31 and 32. Jesus is telling Simon Peter that Satan has desired to have him, that he may sift him as wheat. Notice with you, first of all, the proclamation of this sifting. Jesus said in verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, I don't know about you, but I like to hear it when the Lord has good things to say to me. I like to hear Him proclaim good things to me. But here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord is telling Simon something that's really not good news to hear. Now, I don't know about you, but if the Lord come and told me the devil's hot on your trail, I'm going to be worried. Now, you might not be. Maybe you're super spiritual and all of that. But when the Lord came with this news, it wasn't really good news. Notice the permission of this sifting. Verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." The reason the Lord knew is because Satan had to get permission before it could ever get involved in Peter's life. Hold on, time out, stop just a minute. If you feel like the devil is doing something in your life, he had to get permission first. So, if in your family or in your home, you are wrestling spiritually, you had to get permission. Now, I want you to notice this about this story, preacher, that really got my attention. Peter got notified that the devil wanted him. Why didn't Job? You ever thought about that? Job didn't get a heads up, but Peter did. The Lord is telling him, and he granted him permission. And also, the devil cannot do any more in your life or mine than what the Lord allows. So, if you're wrestling with something in your life tonight, and it be spiritual warfare that you are fighting, the Lord knows all about it, and He's allowing it to happen. So that when you are converted, you'll be able to strengthen your brother. It's all happening. God, you say, preacher, I just don't think I can take it anymore in my life, my relationships, my work, my spiritual being. I've had enough. I'm fed up. God's allowing that to happen. He's allowing that to happen. The permission of the sifting. Notice the separation of the sifting. That comes from the word sifting itself, where it involves a removing of it, dividing it or separating the chaff from the wheat. There were some things in his life as you sift, you put it in a sifter and you shake it up, and the devil had a desire to see what he could get out of Peter's life. Notice, thirdly, of all the intercession of this sifting, found in verse 32, Jesus says, but I prayed for thee. That's a good thing to know. It's one thing to know about your friends, your family, your pastor, your deacons, your co-worker, or a friend that is praying for you, but I've got one tonight that's praying for me, and he's in good relationship. Matter of fact, he's got some clout. And he's praying for you tonight as well. What an encouragement that the Lord shared with him, the intercession that the Lord was interceding on his behalf. Notice the conclusion of this sifting. I've done shared, converted, when thou converted, strengthen thy brethren. But here's where I'm going to get to the message, and that is the motivation of this sifting. What is it that caused Satan to want to sift Peter? And this is what he's after. It's found in verse number 32. Right here it is. Somebody done said it. Joe D. Smart. He don't look it though, does he? Faith. Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that your faith fail not. You know, the one thing the devil wants in your life is your faith. If he can get your faith, he can get your family. If he can get your faith, he can get your testimony. If he can get your faith, he can ruin your life. If he can get your faith, he can destroy your church. If he can get your faith, he can discourage you and cause you to live a life of defeat rather than victory. Why is it that people seem to give up on situations that they're going through? It's because of faith. You say, preacher, I struggle with faith. We all do. Matter of fact, the disciples, one of the last things they asked Jesus before he descended into heaven was, Lord, increase our faith. Now, that was the ones that had seen him raise the dead, cause the blind to see. He had healed the lepers. He had fed the multitude. He had gave water to those that was thirsty. He had done all of these miracles, and yet they said, increase our faith. So we all struggle in the area of faith. And our faith needs to be built up in the day and hour in which we live because the devil's after it. He wants your faith. You might say, well, preacher, why does he want our faith? That's a good question. Why is Satan motivated to get Peter's faith? I want to share with you a few things. I think the Lord will help us tonight. First of all, if you want to write these down, you can. Get your pen out. It's Wednesday night. If you're here on Wednesday night, everybody knows you're a Bible thumper anyway. Only Bible thumpers go to church on Wednesday night. Get your pen out. Write these down. Number one, Satan wants our faith because without faith there is no salvation. Ephesians chapter number 2. We all know the verse of Scripture, verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice I said, without faith there is no salvation. None. Now, does faith save? Absolutely not. Faith does not save. But faith is the channel by which God does the saving. A man's got to have faith before grace can ever come into his life. God only operates through one channel, and that is the channel of faith. Now you understand why that the devil is out to destroy the faith of even unbelievers. They've got to have faith before they can ever get saved. Faith must be present in the life of that sinner, that lost person, before God's grace can ever be distributed in their life. Some people say, well, I believe, so does the devil. They fear and tremble. It's more than just believing. Oh, yeah. You say, oh, I believe. A lot of people do. But it's experiencing the grace of God in your life. That's where the change takes place, through the channel of faith. And there's only one channel that God will bring grace into the life of that person. Number two, what's this? Satan wants our faith because without faith there is no salvation. But number two, without faith there is no protection. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16. I'll read it to you. If you'll write it down, maybe you can study it a little more later on. Ephesians 6 and verse number 16. Listen to this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You want me to tell you why the devil wants our faith, preacher? It's because we have one defensive weapon as a soldier that we hold on to. That's going to help protect our life from the devil throwing darts at us. And that shield of faith is used to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. What part of the body does that cover? It covers your heart. And if there's one area that the devil's trying to get to today, he's trying to get to our heart. God help us as God's people to hold up the shield of faith in our life. The darts are going to come to you, friend. He's done said that. Wherewith we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In other words, he's coming after you, Brother Mike. He's coming after your wife. He's coming after all of us in here. And we have a shield. We have. And how do we use that shield? It is through faith. That's why it's so important to attend the church and the meetings and hear the preaching of God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the Word of God. Every time you come to the house of God and the Word of God is being preached, it increases your faith. I promise you, the further you get away from God and the more you get away from the preaching of God's Word, the more vulnerable you are going to be. Our faith is increased as we hear the Word of God preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and that man of God. That's why when pastor studies and labors what this book does as he gets up here and cries and slobbers and preaches what he's doing, he's trying to build your faith. Because he knows just like I do, the devil's got some darts. And he wants to throw them at you. And you know where he's aiming at? Your heart. And you know the first thing that goes when you're fighting the devil is your heart. By the way, let me ask you this tonight. We're going to find out how good you're using your shield. How's your heart? How's your heart spiritually? Are you taking some shots? Huh? If you're taking some shots, that might be an indicator that your faith, your shield needs to be put up. Where do you learn how to increase your faith and pull your shield up in front of you? It's through the preaching of the Word of God. Satan desires to have you. Can you hear me tonight, Liberty? Can you hear me? Satan wants you.
What we need to do is, by the good grace of God, is through faith, pick up that shield and hold it up, knowing, yes, the devil's going to throw some darts at me, but I can protect my heart and not be as vulnerable by using the shield of faith.
And we have that guarantee of that faith as we use it. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 4 says, this is the victory that we have in Him, even our faith.
Let me tell you how we overcome the wicked one. Through faith. No wonder, preacher, he wants our faith.
Our faith is not in ourself, but we have a guarantee if our faith is in Him, then we can overcome.
You say, preacher, I'll never get over this. Well, then your faith is in the wrong person. We have victory over the world through faith in Christ. And if you're saying, I'll never be able to overcome this, then what you're saying is, you don't have faith.
Let me just say this. The measure of my faith does not minimize the ability nor the power of God. But the measure of my faith limits how much of that power and ability I see and it gets revealed in my life.
Oh yeah, friend. We have victory through faith in Him.
I'm glad He didn't say you'd have victory if you'd quote 400 verses of Scripture. I'm glad He didn't say if you tithe regularly every week, I'll give you the victory. It's quiet now. I'll move right along.
I'm glad He didn't say if you'll pray 6 hours a day, I'll give you victory. I'm glad He didn't say if you will sell everything you got and give it all to the poor, I'll give you victory.
No, He's saying, just have faith. Just believe in Me. Put your faith in Me. And the devil wants your faith. Because he knows if he gets it, you'll quit. And when you quit, you suffer, and everybody else around you suffers. I don't want to be a quitter. I've quitted enough things in my life, but if there's one thing I don't want to quit on, I don't want to quit on God. I don't want to be one of them that lays my Bible down and shuts it up. I don't want to be one of those that goes to the house that was a has-been. I don't want to be one of those that said, I remember when Brother Jody was a preacher of the gospel and now he's a has-been. I don't want to be one of them, Preacher Ken, that used to be a blessing to the man of God. I don't want to be one of them that used to be a husband to my wife and a father to my children. But by the grace of God, I want to be a man of faith that holds on to Him, believing in His ability, not in my own.
He wants your faith.
When you let go of that, you'll quit. When you get to the point where you say God can't, you're in trouble. I was going to stay calm down tonight. This ain't revival and it ain't camp meeting. This Wednesday night Bible study. Satan wants our faith because without faith, there's no salvation. There's no protection. Here's you one. Write this one down in the margin of your Bible. There's no restoration. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. I'll show you something. There's no restoration. You getting ready to find out why the devil really wants your faith. That's what he really wants. He's after one thing and one thing only in your life. One thing. One thing. And when you leave here tonight, you need to do all you can to protect your faith. And build your faith. You want to overcome the enemy? Build your faith. Hebrews chapter number 11, I believe it. Ain't that what I said? What verse was it? 6? Is that where it was? I think they tore Hebrews. There it is. Hebrews 11:6. Watch this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Watch. Here we go. For he that cometh to God must, that's affirmative, believe, that's faith, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, I'm getting ready to share something with you that is about to send me in orbit right now, because I know what's about to happen. The reason the devil wants your faith, another reason, is because if he gets it, he knows you'll never work your way back to God to get restored. Are y'all with me? All right, we all know the story of the prodigal son, correct? He lost a bunch, did he not? The devil had his heyday with the prodigal son. He got out there in the hog lot and hog pen, wasted his substance on righteous living. We all know that. He lost everything he had monetarily. But you know there's one thing he had in the hog pen that the devil never did get? That was his faith. Because what did he say? He said, how many servants does my father have? Bread enough and to spare. And not smack dab in the middle of his mess. Here comes faith. He said, I'll arise and go to my father's house. And say to my father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Faith kicked in. And he was able to go back to the father. And what did the father do? The father said, yo, make ready the fatted calf and bring the robe. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. You see, here's what the devil wants you to think. That if you mess up and you need to be restored, the last place you want to go is back to God. Because when people mess up, I've seen it. I've been pastoring long enough now. Same place about 16 years. Exactly right, preacher. When people mess up, instead of getting restored, the first thing they do is go out them doors and you don't see them. When it's very simple, friend. All you got to do is get around the altar and come back to the Father's house. He's here with open arms. Hey, faith, friend. Faith in His ability to restore you. The devil wants your faith. He wants your faith. Youngins, he wants your faith. Without faith, there's no restoration. Now, if there's one thing the devil don't want, he don't want anybody restored. He wants us all running away from God. When we mess up, he don't want our families restored. He don't want us restored spiritually. He don't want us restored mentally. Boy, we all need restoring there, don't we? He don't want us restored physically or mentally or maritally or parentally. He don't want you restored. And just to prove my point, there's a lot of people who's already given up. Don't you ever give up. The minute you say, I quit, is the minute you've just gave your life over to the power of Satan. I'm saying don't put your faith in yourself, but put your faith in the one that is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me just go ahead and share this with you. If he can speak the world into existence, if he can call the stars to come out at the night and go to bed in the morning, if he can cause the sun to get up every morning and come up and go down every night, if he can cause the waves of the sea to only come in so far and say, hey, stop right there, now back up, and do that thousands of times every day. Come up a little further. No, 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 stop right there. Go on back. If he's clothing the lily in the field, if he's feeding the sparrow, if he's controlling the earth, tuning it on its axis very perfectly at 1,000 miles an hour, we're on this little bitty round ball out here in the middle of nowhere being held up by nothing. And if he's able to do that, then surely he can. I said surely he can restore you. Yeah. I just don't know, preacher. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Without faith, there's no restoration. Let me give you a couple more, and I'm going to be done. Watch this. Without faith, there's no restoration. But here's another one. Without faith, there's no supplication. Turn to James 1. James 1, verses 4 through 6. Ain't this a good little Wednesday night Bible study? James 1, 4 through 6. Y'all watch this. Without faith, there's no supplication. You think He wants you praying? No. Think He wants you talking to God? Absolutely not. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 3. We'll back up one. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, watch. But let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Look at verse 7. Here's the result of not praying in faith. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now I'm getting ready to help us just a little bit in our prayer life. In our prayer life, a lot of times the devil gets our faith and we don't even know it when it comes to praying. I'm getting ready to prove my point. A lot of times when we pray over and over and over and over again. Repetitiously. About the same thing. Over and over and over. Some people pray about things for years. Now, I'm almost of the belief, Miss Renee, that if we continue to pray the same prayer over and over and over, then that's a prayer of unbelief, because if we had faith, why would you keep praying the same thing over and over? It's kind of like going from trying to trusting. Trusting is faith. Trying is flesh. But see, we was raised. Now hold on. We was raised, preacher. You got grandbabies. Is little Parker up here? Where's he at? He's over yonder. And little Sophie and little Olivia. I mean, Papa's little babies. Now, I know that his grandbabies is no different than your grandbabies. If your grandbabies come up to you, Papa, I want that ball bat. Papa. Papa, I want it ripped. Papa, I want that bat and ball. Papa, you got any grandkids? You do? Papa, I want that ball. Papa, I want that bat. Sooner or later, he's going to say, oh, it's just a ball and a bat. I'm going to get him to shut up. I'm going to go buy the boy a ball and a bat. Now, he should have known better to do that, because then he took the ball and the bat and hit it through the window in the kitchen. No, I'm just kidding. But you and I, when we were kids, sometimes if we aggravated our parents long enough, we'd eventually get what we wanted. I think sometimes we carry that into our life spiritually as a Christian. We feel like if we beg God long enough and hard enough, then He's going to give in to what I want. You saying, preacher, are you minimizing prayer? Absolutely not. Let me watch this. And if anybody ever tells you you don't need to be praying, they're an idiot. Because the Bible says pray without ceasing. Does it not? We're to pray. Prayer is actually talking to God. And if anybody says you don't need to pray, that's wrong. Because we all need to talk to God. We just need to learn how to talk to God in the right way spiritually. You see, most of our prayer life consists of this. This is where the devil gets us.
Lord, I need this. Lord, they need that. Lord, would you help this person? Lord, this one up here at the hospital, they sure do need a healing. Lord, this person's about dead. And most of the time, we won't even call somebody and ask them to pray for nothing unless it's bad. As a pastor, sometimes I worry when my phone rings, what tragedy has happened now? Because most of the time when we talk to God, it's in asking. Now, I'm not minimizing asking. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. But what if, Brother Mike, we use Miss Rollins, what if the only time he talked to you is he is asking you to do something? Would you wash the clothes? Would you please fix the car? Would you please vacuum the floor? Would you please cook me some supper? Would you please get me a Pepsi? Would you please tend to the youngins? They're sick. Would you go to the store? Sooner or later, you're going to have a complex. And you're going to want to do this when you see him coming. You're going to want to start going like this. Imagine how your relationship is going to be with your spouse if all you done was ask them, I need you to do this and do this and do this. Sooner or later, you'd want to say, get a life! Who do I look like I am? Sad to say, though, preacher, a lot of times that's the gist of our prayer life. I'm getting ready to help you right here, and I'm hurrying up. I've got so much I want to share with you, but I'm trying to go quick. Did you know prayer is made up of 5 different things? Write them down. Here they are. Adoration, gratification, supplication, intercession, and confession. There they are. I'll go through them again. Adoration. Gratification. Supplication. Intercession. Confession. That's alliterated for you. You ought to be able to remember that. But most of our prayer consists of supplication. Or intercession. Like tonight in the prayer room, we was in there interceding. Whatever happened to praying and just thanking God for what He's done? There's 5 parts to prayer. If you're only asking for things, you've only got 1/5 of it down pat. What about thanking Him? What about worship Him? That's adoration. Adoration is worship. That's where you get into an area in your life, in a realm to where you just start magnifying Him. You're wonderful. You're majestic. I adore you. You're awesome. You're worthy. But we've got other things to do. Lord, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. And Lord, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. And so really what the devil has done, he stole your faith. And the reason he done that is because God ain't done what you want Him to do yet. Prayer's not sovereign. God is. And just because you ask God to do something don't mean He's going to do it. Watch this. Here's a truth God shared with me today on the front porch of Brother Ken's cabin. And I shared it with Daddy, and God helped me big time with it in my own heart. Let me tell you who prayer's for anyway. You. Prayer's for you. Prayer is for us. Oh, yeah, God, I thought I'd let you in on this little secret. Really? Like He didn't already know that. And who am I to be telling God what needs to be done in other people's life anyhow? Woo! That's right, preacher. So, you see how our prayer life has gotten all turned around and twisted up? You ever wonder why your prayers ain't getting answered? Could it be that you're trying too hard to pray instead of trusting Him with the prayers you've already prayed? Because see, the thing about it is, if we try harder and harder and harder, we get more done. Not necessarily. So I got to get more done. Sometimes people think, boy, if we'll pray harder, and I'm getting ready to help you, Summers, right here now. Do not leave this building tonight and say that I do not believe in prayer, because you'll be lying. I believe in prayer, and I need to pray more than I do. I try to stay in constant prayer, meditating, communion with God throughout the day, not just with my eyes closed. I try to stay in that prayer. Watch this. Back home, they have these things. Well, we need to pray for revival. And they'll beg God for weeks for revival. Now, is that wrong? I'm not saying it is. We do need revival. But if they're continuing to pray over and over and over about it, do they really believe God's going to send it? And if they're not believing that He's going to send it, is He going to send it? Why can't we just trust Him that He is going to do it? Huh? Instead of trying and putting all the pressure on me that I need to go lay 5 hours in prayer, and that would be good for some of us. Some of us, our prayer life consists of God is great, God is good, let us thank for it, fruit by His hands, over faith, amen. Once again, prayer is not to notify God. Prayer is to get us in line with God's will. Let me carry on. How long y'all been married? 10 years. 10, 11 years. Now what if He never talked to you? You don't talk to her. Oh Lord. Hello. You don't talk to her neither. I'm gonna go back up here to Brother Rollins. What if He never talked to you? Matter of fact, He's the husband. What if she never talked to you? Now, you women are good at giving us silent treatment. I'll go ahead and give you that. When my wife hushes, I know I'm in trouble and I've done something wrong. I'm getting ready to help our marriages, too. One of the biggest problems with relationships in the world today is lack of communication. One of the biggest problems in our churches today, we're in a marriage relationship with Him and there's a lack of communication with us and Him. We've carried that same thing right into our life spiritually. Let me give you one more and I'm going to be done, okay? Without faith, there is no salvation. Without faith, there's no restoration. Without faith, there's no protection. Without faith, there's no supplication. But without faith, there's no consolation. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Here's the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. I'm going to be done. Y'all can go home and get your kids into bed. I know they got school tomorrow. And preacher, thank you for letting me preach very much. I want to help you, Liberty. And as a pastor, I got a pastor. I love my people. I'm going to do my best to try to help them. Increase your faith. Increase your faith. Increase your faith. Watch this. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what? Without faith, you have absolutely no hope at all. Our only consolation is the faith that we have in Him. That's our hope. That's our strength. That's our assurance. And the hope we have is the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. So as I put my faith in Him and His ability, then I have hope and peace in my heart that everything's going to be all right. And He's going to take care of it. And He's going to see to it. Now, if there's one thing the devil don't want in your life, as I've mentioned all these others, he don't want you to have no hope. That's why he wants your faith. He don't want you to see that anything good is ever going to happen. He wants you to see that it's just going to get worse. There's no use. It's just bad. It ain't never going to get any better than it is right now. That's what he wants you to see. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Watch this. I've told you the getting of faith. I've told you the guarantee of faith that we've overcome the world. Let me give you this last G, and I'm done. The greatness of faith. One little story. Y'all remember what Jesus told His disciples? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might be able to say to this mountain, be removed from here to yonder, and it'd be so. The greatness of faith. You say, preacher, I ain't got much faith. Guess what? It don't take much. Hey! Boy, it's sounding better now, ain't it? You mean, preacher, I don't have to have a lot of faith? No. Do you know a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds, a little old bitty tiny thing? If you've got that much faith, there's hope. You say, preacher, I ain't got great faith. At least you got faith. Hold on to it, Liberty, because the devil wants it. I promise you. If you're going through something tonight and the devil's on your back, the only thing he wants from you is your faith. But you need to remember, the Lord's praying for you and he's allowing all of this to happen because it's going to make you stronger and you're going to be able to help somebody else that's going to need you along the way. Thank you for listening tonight, preacher. You come. I'm done.